Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our series of studies, Genitive Forms of the Titles of God. As we have said before on the broadcast, God is the most titled person in all the universe. And these are parts of those titles of God, and a title, of course, is a descriptive name. And these names, these titles that we are using in this series, are describe the very character of God himself. And we've chosen the word genitive not to seem high-sounding at all. We chose the word genitive because it is a word of origins. Genesis, the first book in the Bible, is a book of origins. Everything begins there. And this shows you what is innate in the character of God, and these things originate with God. Here they are. The God of peace, the God of love, the God of patience, the God of comfort, the God of truth, the God of hope. He's called all of these things in the scriptures. They speak of his character. Now, he originates peace. He originates love. He originates patience and comfort and truth and hope. They all depend upon him. We need something in this day and age. We need security. We need something that doesn't change. Change is the mark of the finite. Unchanging character is the mark of divinity. It's the mark of God. To show our point now that there is a genitive form of this title of God, we will refer to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 32 contains the Song of Moses that was written to the children of Israel. Moses composed this song, and he taught it to the children of Israel so that when they sang this song, they would be reminded of God and who God is. And one of the most profound verses in that wonderful psalm is found in verse 4. Here it is. He is the rock, something to tie to, something solid. He is the rock. His work, is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he, a God of truth. What is truth? Truth is unvarying, unchanging principle. And when we refer to God, of course, we have to capitalize the P in principle. God does not change. We read that in Malachi 3, chapter 3 and verse 6. Here it is. God tells the children of Israel through his prophet Malachi, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." The children of Israel had gone astray from God. Most of them were in captivity in Babylon when this prophecy of Malachi was written. And God says, "I haven't given up on you. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God doesn't change. He doesn't need to change. We're the ones that need to change. But God does not change. He cannot change for the better, for that would constitute him as something less than perfect right now. He can't change for the worse. That's something unthinkable. God cannot change. And that is certainly inherent in these titles, genitive forms of the titles of God. And we're speaking about the fact that he is the God of truth, and truth is unvarying principle, and God needs no change. We're going to read a few verses about that. Just read them and let you think about them. The Lord Jesus says in his prayer, well, let's see, let's go to the person of Christ first before we say what he says. The Lord Jesus himself says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says there, Jesus saith unto him, unto Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You notice he uses his divine name here. It's a title. He is the great I am. He is the one who lives in the eternal present. He is the greatest fact in all the universe. I am. And he uses that title. introduces this thought to Thomas. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see both in the Old Testament and the New Testament the unchanging character of God. He is the truth, and truth does not change. We read in John 17:17 the words of the Lord Jesus as he prays for his disciples in what is really the Lord's Prayer, that wonderful prayer. Here he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Why? It does not change. Listen, if you please, to Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Lord Jesus himself spoke these words in Matthew 24 and verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The word of God is the truth. It doesn't change. Now, I know we get new revisions of it, new concepts on the part of men as to what it really means, but the text itself in the original does not change. And here we have something to tie to, something that will last forever, something that is ours to keep. And we want to see how that this title can apply to you and me in this life. We can appropriate this title, the God of Truth, and enjoy it for ourselves. Israel was related to God through as the God of truth, as we read there in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. The Lord's portion in his people was his people. Deuteronomy 32 and 9. What a blessing if he were their portion. And he was indeed their portion. God promised to Abraham when he called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he told him to go to a land that he would give to his people, rather. Abraham never owned a foot of it. He lived in a tent. But God promised, and God and Abraham took him at his word. Abraham appropriated in his heart and his mind the whole land of Canaan, though it did not become theirs until after their sojourn in Egypt. But he tells them, he says, in you and all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And his chosen people, Israel, is particularly blessed, and they were related to the God that doesn't change. Now, he took them into his land, he gave them his land, and they were dispossessed because they had failed the God of Israel. Does that mean that God's plans have not changed? No. Israel is going to be the head nation of this world. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to rule this world, and he's going to do it from Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, and he's going to do it through his people. God's plans do not change. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance, we read in Romans chapter 11. God does not have to change his plans. Israel was related to the God of truth, who cannot lie, whose principles are unvarying, unchangeable. David was related to him. One day David was sitting in his house, and Nathan the prophet was in his presence. And David was musing, and he said, you know, I dwell in a house of stone, and the tabernacle of God still dwells among curtains. I'm going to build a house for the Lord. Well, Nathan gets into the presence of God, and God sends a message to David. He says, you're going to build a house for me? Since when? Since the beginning of the children of Israel, have I asked any of the children of Israel at any time, why haven't you built me a house? It was David's idea. Now he said, you go tell David, I'm going to build him a house. He is going to be the son of David is going to be rather the father of kings. And it in his son, one of his sons, is going to reign over this universe, and his reign is going to last forever. What son was he referring to? Not Solomon. Not even Amos. Not Hezekiah. Not the good kings. He's referring to Christ, the King of Israel. And Israel David is related to the Lord through the genitive forms of the title of God. It became his. He's the God of truth. He promised David that one of his sons is going to reign on that throne. And God does not go back on his promises. Now let's make it practical. We are related to the one who is the truth. We read there in John 14 and 6, we've already read it. Jesus saith unto him, unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, I am the truth. I don't change. And as the truth, he is the way to God. Now, that is just incontrovertible. You just can't speak against it. He says, I am the way to God. How could words be plainer? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you don't know Christ, you've missed everything. We must know Christ. We must trust Christ as our Savior because he died for us on the cross of Calvary. He died and took our sins away. And those sins are gone forever. We read that in Hebrews chapter 10. That God has put our sins behind his back. Well, we don't read that there. That's an Old Testament scripture. But God says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more forever. Why? Because they've been put away. This salvation relates to me. I've got God's word for it that my debt of sin has been paid. Does that give you comfort? It gives me a well of comfort that never runs dry. I've got his word for it that my sins are gone. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And God doesn't go back on his word. And I'm just telling you that this is a great comfort. We have something to stabilize us. The truth of God, as indeed the God of truth, is ours. Let's claim it. And let's embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. But let the warnings of our Lord Jesus, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We have to know Christ. We have to know him as our Savior. We have to trust him. We have to love him. We have to serve him because he is our Savior, because he died for you and for me. Here is something solid to tie into. Yes, nations fail. Banks fail. Marriages fail. But Christ never fails. He never changes. God never. He doesn't have to change his mind. And our sins are gone. He gave his Son that we might be his. Our Father, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to appropriate you and receive you as the God of truth indeed. In Christ's name, amen.